Hello, I'm Andrea Tabchar, a college public relations professor based in Toronto. My goal for my podcast is to interview PR practitioners with interesting stories to tell, and I wanted to share those with my students. I've decided to call it PR Delivered.
I'm noticing a lot now when I'm seeing job postings, they're asking, do you know about the AODA and do you know how to create accessible content? And those questions, and as you said at the beginning, I'm also a teacher. I've had students as they are going out into placement who have been asked that question. And it's something I do teach them, but at the same time, they said, I never would have thought somebody would ask me that question.
Did you know that as of January of this year, all websites must be accessible for persons with disabilities? That means that you need to be mindful of how you use fonts, images, and emojis to ensure that people with visual impairments can access your content. Passed in 2005, the Accessibility for Ontarians with Disabilities Act legislated that organizations, including companies with more than 50 employees and government, needed to ensure their communication tools were accessible to all. But as of January 1st, 2021, all websites and web content are required to meet accessibility standards or face severe fines of up to $50,000 a day. Being AODA compliant is the job of the communications professional. So today, we'll be speaking to Matisse Hamel-Nielis to learn more about what it means to ensure accessibility in communications and how you can prepare yourself to be a leader in this space. Matisse is currently the project manager, Inclusive Workspaces, at the Canadian National Institute of the Blind, is a PR graduate from Durham College, where she also teaches part-time, and was recently certified a professional in accessible core competency from the International Association of Accessibility Professionals. And she's an accessible document specialist. And I might add, Matisse is one of only 53 certified accessible document specialists in the world. Welcome, Matisse.
Thank you so much, Andrea. I'm so excited to be here.
Well, I'm excited to have you and all of these accomplishments of yours. You certainly are the qualified person to discuss AODA and accessibility and communication. So thrilled to have you join us here. Let's start with our first question. What is your role at the CNIB and how did you get there? So what drew you to sort of these accessibility issues in communications?
Sure. So I actually currently am the project manager for Inclusive Workplaces, as you mentioned, where I am helping my team, our IDEA team, so Inclusion, Diversity, Equity, and Accessibility team, come up with recommendations to provide to the Government of Canada's Accessible Standards Canada Committee on Employment on how to create a more equitable and accessible employment experience for all. Prior to that, when I first started at CNIB, I started as a corporate communications specialist and worked my way up having different roles, including strategic communications specialist and the project manager for our centennial celebrations. When it comes to the accessible issues in communication and my passion for that, that really stemmed from when I started at CNIB. And it started with a simple task that I was given. Can you tweet something out for the CNIB account? I tweeted the abbreviation for Did You Know, which we all know as DYK. I put it out there and like, Did You Know? And I can't remember what the rest of the tweet was. Not even 10 minutes later, I get a phone call from one of my colleagues who is blind. And he's also one of our national accessibility specialists. He gives me a call and he says, hi, welcome to CNIB. We're so happy to have you. Are you the one who just tweeted? And I was like, oh, yeah, of course. Hi, nice to meet you. Did I do a good job? What's happening? And he said, well, something you should be aware of is that abbreviations don't always read the way you think they're going to read to screen readers. So in this case, he was using a software called JAWS, which is used by people who are blind or partially sighted, and it's a text-to-speech technology. And that particular text-to-speech technology reads the abbreviation DYK, or as Dick. So what he heard was Dick, blah, 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 which was definitely not my intention, and a very quick lesson that I learned. When I thought of that, I said, well, what else am I doing wrong or do I not know about? And he said, oh, there's lots when it comes to accessibility, particularly in communications. For me, originally, before I started at CNIB, I thought, okay, accessibility, we're talking ramps on buildings, we're talking Braille on signage. And that was really my ignorance in that field. But since starting at CNIB and really learning more about this, my passion grew. So things from accessible content creation for PDFs, Word documents, PowerPoints, to accessible social media and videos and podcasts and so on and so forth. So it really stemmed from that simple tweet on my, you know, second day at the organization. It just blew up into this huge passion and advocacy initiative that I have in trying to educate others in PR and marketing about the accessibility issues and what accessibility means in our field.
That's a great story. I love that he was kind and pointed this out to you. So what does the government's recent legislation regarding accessible communications mean for us as communicators?
So with the Accessibility for Ontarians with Disabilities Act, there's different standards that make it up. And the one important standard for us as communicators is the Information and Communications Standard. And what that dictates to us is that any communication, whether it be a website or documents or even social media, it needs to be accessible. And what that means is that it's not simply a matter of, oh, it's on my website and it works and it's good to go. It needs to be usable by people who are using assistive technologies. So people who are blind or partially sighted are using software like JAWS or NVDA. There's other softwares like Kurzweil and Dragon. So it's a matter of these types of assistive technologies being able to navigate and read out this information. And so what the Information and Communication Standards tells us is that we need to ensure that we have, first and foremost, an accessible website. And by January 1st of this year, of 2021, all websites needed to be accessible to the WCAG 2.0 AA standard. So that allows for easy navigation using these assistive technologies within the website. But then, like I said, again, it's a matter of the documents itself. You can say, well, my website passes this these standards and we're good to go, but it uploaded PDFs onto that website and those PDFs are inaccessible. Therefore, your website is inaccessible because somebody can't actually navigate those particular PDFs. So it's a whole slew of documents that we're creating or items that we create as communicators that we need to ensure are accessible. So if you have images that you're adding alternative text, video, you're adding in described video so that either that secondary voice that's saying what's happening in the video or it's integrated into what's already being said by those in the video. You're having captions. If possible, you're even having ASL interpreters who are present in your videos. If you have a podcast or audio recording on your website or as one of the items that you are sharing, that you're providing a transcript as well for people who are deaf or hard of hearing, so they can also take in the information that's being provided. So really this legislation, and particularly that Information and Communication Standard, tells us and provides us with a guide as to what we need to ensure is accessible. And it's not just a matter of, well, it's our website and it's, you know, our strat plan and it's our, you know, our annual reports or anything like that. It goes even further because there's also the customer service standard. So you need to think about if you are a large retail chain, is the information that you are creating also available in an accessible format? Because somebody can go into your store and say, well, I can't read the signs or I can't read, you know, I can't understand what's being said or what I need to do. You need to be able to provide an alternative format where they're able to understand. And that it's to their need and to what they are looking for. So having those alternative formats available, so Braille, large print, that sort of thing, is also key to ensuring that we as communicators are fully prepared with our accessible content.
Thank you for that very comprehensive answer. It makes us realize just how much work there is to be done in this space. Can you tell us a little bit about the AODA? What does it do and what do we as communicators have to know in our dealings with the AODA?
For sure. So the AODA, the Accessibility for Ontarians with Disabilities Act, is a legislation that came into force, if you will, in 2005, where it was signed into legislation and gave a set timeline for businesses and organizations, both small and large, and government, public and private, to ensure a barrier-free Ontario. There are five standards within the AODA. The first is the information and communication standard, which is very specific and very important to us communicators. Then there's the employment standard. There's the transportation standard, the design of public spaces standard, and then the customer service standard. And when it comes to the AODA, as communicators, we really focus on that information and communication standard in particular, because of course it focuses on information and communication. And that's what we try to do, communicate and provide information. So from that, the key one that comes from accessible formats and communication supports, it states, and this is number 12 in the AODA, section 12, that every obligated organization shall, upon request, provide or arrange for the provision of accessible formats and communication supports for persons with disabilities. So that's a key thing. And then, of course, the information and communication standard goes more in depth in terms of websites that they need to be WCAG 2.0 AA compliant by as of January 1st of this year. And that simply means that by following the WCAG guidelines, you are ensuring that your website is very accessible. Where you can make it a AAA compliant website is when you ensure that all your videos are described as well as captioned. So adding description entails that audio description to help describe what's happening in the video for somebody with sight loss. It's captioned again for somebody who is hard of hearing or has hearing loss. And it's going into the nitty-gritty that everything you post is a fully 100% accessible. What a lot of communicators forget when it comes to their websites is that my website is accessible. We just revamped it. It is fully accessible, but they've forgotten about their grandfathered PDFs. So the PDFs that they've created and have before and have still uploaded onto their brand new website. The issue is that anything on your website needs to be accessible. So if your PDFs aren't accessible, your website is not accessible. So as communicators, it's things like that that we need to take into consideration and really think about. If we're releasing a video on our website or on social media, is it captioned? Is it described for somebody with sight loss? If we're doing a podcast like we are here, we have the audio file, but is there also going to be a transcript, right? It's things like that that we need to consider as communicators to ensure that we are removing all barriers that could cause somebody with a disability to not engage, interact, and learn and educate themselves on what's happening within the communication that we're trying to put forward.
So when you're saying all of this, like in my introduction, I talked about the fines and whatever. Is it just larger organizations, 50 employees plus, or, you know, how does this impact smaller organizations, boutique agencies, that kind of thing?
So in terms of boutique agencies and large organizations, large and small, they each had different deadlines and different criteria to meet. So for example, when it comes to the website, so under section 14, like I said, I have the AODA in front of me while we go awesome. Through this. So designated public sector organizations and large organizations, so large organizations are 50 plus, that by January 1st, 2014, all new internet websites and web content on those websites had to conform with WCAG 2.0 level A. So that was back in 2014. January 1st of this year, all internet websites and web content must conform to WCAG 2.0 level AA compliance, with the exception of all videos having live captioning and audio descriptions. For smaller organizations, that aren't considered part of the large organization base, which is 50 or more. For them, it's a matter of meeting the single A compliance in WCAG, so WCAG 2.0 single A compliance. And the reason for that is that the government has assumed that smaller organizations don't have the manpower or perhaps the capital in order to ensure that it's further accessible.
Right.
And that's, and what I'm noticing actually in doing a lot of accessibility audits is that it's actually the smaller companies and smaller businesses that are more accessible than the larger ones that have really put thought into it. And when you're creating an accessible website, for example, when you make it accessible, it is actually easier to navigate for everybody with or without a disability versus when you try to go over the top and add these different types of features and it's not accessible, it can be a hindrance for everybody, not just somebody with a disability.
Interesting. So, so there are the different standards. And so if you're a communicator at a large organization or a small one, you need to educate yourself as to what level of WCAG that you were talking about that you need to adhere to. So if you are a PR practitioner, old or new, how do you acquire these skills?
So there's lots of information online around accessible content creation. If you're looking for what tips and tricks do I need in order to make my social media accessible, there was a great blog created by Hootsuite, actually, that went into a lot of detail on the tips and tricks on how to make it accessible. If you're looking at how to make documents accessible, so an accessible Word document, PowerPoint, or PDF even, or even InDesign, so actually designing it and then exporting it so that it's accessible, there are a bunch of courses that are available. Mohawk College offers an accessible media production post-grad certificate that people can take, and you learn everything from accessible videos to podcasts to documents to you name it, and the legislation. There are other organizations like Accessible Canada that offer courses and seminars that people can take. These are always with fees associated with them. But another great resource, and people don't think about this very much, is Facebook. Facebook has a lot of accessibility groups where people who are certified, like myself, we join and we have these conversations, and we are always more than happy to educate and do one-on-one training with folks to help them better understand how to make their communications more accessible.
So there's a lot of support, is what you're saying.
A lot of support. Yeah, it's a lot of support. And everybody in this, in the accessibility community, particularly those of us who are trying to promote accessible communications, we are at the forefront of saying, if anybody wants to ask anything, please ask. We would rather not be the novelty. We want everybody to be practicing what we're trying to preach. We want it to be that we are just like everybody else in PR and marketing. There is no difference because we are all doing the same accessible stuff.
So would you say that this is a desirable skill, that this is sort of an emerging skill in the field of communications? And would you say that it's an opportunity for students and new grads to differentiate themselves?
Very much so. Very, very much so. I'm noticing a lot now when I'm seeing job postings, they're asking, do you know about the AODA and do you know how to create accessible content? And those questions, and I, like, as you said at the beginning, I'm also a teacher. I've had students as they are going out into placement who have been asked that question. And it's something I do teach them. But at the same time, they said, I never would have thought somebody would ask me that question. You know, it's something that in the past wasn't a big thing, but because of the AODA coming into full force on January 1st of this year, organizations are looking for what currently is considered the unicorn in communication, somebody who does know not just the PR side of things and writing strat plans and so on and so forth and crisis communications, but somebody who can do all that plus ensure that it is fully accessible so they don't have to face the wrath of fines later on when something gets published. So it's very much a desirable trait.
That is such good news. And it's kind of like this little secret insight that our listeners can take away and say, hey, this is a way for me to not just build my PR backpack and my skill set, but it's something that is actually being, that is desirable and in demand and could differentiate them from other candidates for a good job opportunity.
Very much so, especially when you diversify and it's not just, so in my case, for example, I have the specialization, the certification in accessible document specialist. And that's one aspect of it. So I'm certified that I can do accessible PDFs and Excel and PowerPoints and Word documents. Great, fabulous, fun. But it's also good to know that I can do accessible video. So I know what described video means and how to incorporate it. I know how to do captioning properly. And there's certain nuances that, you know, people just say, well, it's captioned, it's fine. And I did the auto captioning on YouTube, for example. But as if somebody with hearing loss is using those captions, most of the time they do punctuation or capitalization or anything like that. They are just run-on sentences. It's hard to follow. It's not in sync with what's being said. So there are nuances to what's being done. So if PR practitioners, especially those just entering the field, want to know more about accessibility and creating accessible content, it is a huge step up for them, because they will be able to say, listen, I'm a one-stop shop, not just for documents, but I can also do videos. I can do your podcast. I can do photography. I can do, you name it. I got this.
So good incentive for people to develop their skill set in this area. So what are your tips for best practice in accessible communications? Like, what are maybe some of the 3 or 4 or 5 things that an organization that's sort of tackling this issue needs to be most mindful of?
For sure. That's a great question, actually. So right off the bat, the easiest thing that people can do, particularly when using social media, is adding alternative text to their images. So alternative text or alt text or image descriptions, depending on where you're looking at it. Twitter calls it a description. Facebook calls it alt text. The best thing to do is to add this alternative text, which is the text-based description of your image. And you're writing a meaningful description of the image. You're not writing very minute details as to what's happening, but you're making a fulsome image using your words, so that somebody with sight loss can picture what that actual picture is. The second thing would be, if you have videos, have captioning. Captioning is huge. And it's not just for people with hearing loss. Think of the amount of times that you are on social media or just scrolling through on the internet and you don't unmute a video and you just read the actual captions. It's another way to target a whole new audience when you have it captioned. And to one up that, in your videos, also add description. Integrate a described video. And that's when you actually pre-plan what your video will be, and the speaker in your video is describing what they see around them. So it all comes very fluid and very natural in how it comes out, versus that post-production described audio file, which is a secondary audio layer on a video that you hear kind of in between people speaking. So that's another huge thing. So having your videos captioned and described, ensuring your documents are accessible is another big one. Like I said, if you have a website and you're posting PDFs, making sure those are accessible. Again, there's training to learn how to do that. And there's also quite a few companies that do that. I do that myself. And, you know, ensuring that documents are accessible. And perhaps if you're in a small team or even in a larger organization, another tip would be to reach out for training for your team for things like PowerPoint and for things like Word that are simpler documents to make accessible. PDFs can be a little bit more technical and nitty gritty, but a simple Word document that's accessible will go miles in comparison to a PDF that is inaccessible on your website.
So lots to do.
there's tons and tons and tons to do, but these are little things that can start to be incorporated in stuff that we do every day, right? Where we're posting on social media, look at the content you're posting. If you had hearing loss, would you be able to engage with it? So if it's a video and it doesn't have captioning, you wouldn't be able to engage with it. So just add captioning. If you have sight loss, would you be able to see that image? If so, is it zoomed in? Using some magnification software, you'll need to still have that image description to help describe what it is, so somebody can get, that person can get the full sense of what is happening in that image. And then the simple practice of making a Word document or a PowerPoint accessible can go a long way, because you never know, especially if you're doing presentations for other organizations and they ask for that PowerPoint, who's going to get that PowerPoint document or who's going to get that Word document at the end of the day? And do they have a disability? And if they do, will they be able to actually engage with it or not?
questions that we need to be asking. You're right. To have a, as the AODA stated, to have a barrier-free Ontario, we all need to do our part. So
yes.
That's really good information. So you are not busy enough, apparently, because you started an agency called Quaido that specializes in accessible communications. Can you tell us about that, starting with the significance of the name?
So Quaido is actually a word that in my family we use all the time. My father is English speaking and my mother is native to Italy, and they met in Italy, and my father barely speaks Italian. And the running gag was the word is quello, so Q-U-E-L-L-O, and my dad never thought of that. He thought it was Quaido with the D's. And nonstop for years and years and years, that's what he kept saying. And none of us corrected him. We just said, that's his own thing. And then when my grandfather was getting older, one day he was just in a mood. My dad said it and he goes, you know, the whole family knows you're saying it wrong. It's actually Quello. And then we just said, well, it's our word now. That is what it is. So it's got that significance to it that when I thought, okay, I want to create a company name. I know it's not probably the most accessible. Everyone's asking, well, how do you say this? But it has that meaning for me. So it's supposed to be Quello. That would be the proper name. But in our family, we say Quello.
Very good. And so you started the agency. And tell us about what you do at Quaido.
Yeah, so we are, my company is a communications boutique agency that focuses on accessible communications. We help our clients with accessible social media content, with remediating of documents, helping them with design of documents to ensure that they are accessible. We provide training on accessible documents, accessible social media, accessible videos and podcasts. We also provide a training and insights on accessible event planning. So we actually currently we're working with IABC for their virtual awards that are coming up. And so just providing them with insights on what are best practices, especially in a virtual world, to make it accessible. And when we go back into having actual awards and galas and that sort of thing, what does that look like from an accessibility standpoint? A lot of people will plan out a room layout and forget, well, is there space for wheelchairs and guide dogs, right, in between to navigate? If somebody with sight loss is coming, do they need a sighted guide to help them with dinner if there's a buffet? Do you have Braille and large print copies available? Do you have CART available or an ASL interpreter? Like things like that, that sometimes when you're in the midst of planning an event can just fall to the wayside by no fault of anybody's. But it's just something that you don't necessarily think about all the time. But with the AODA, it's something that needs to come to the forefront and not just be an afterthought. So with Quaido Communications, that's my big goal, is to ensure that when I'm working with these companies and agencies and small businesses, that whatever we do, accessibility is always top of mind as we get into the nitty gritty of, oh, I need a strat plan, I need social media content, I need help looking at our event planning, whatever the case is, we always think of accessibility.
So you're like this accessibility superhero that can just dive in and solve the accessibility issues. So that's
I try.
That's awesome. That's how I see you, like with all these credentials and experience here. That's fantastic. So Matisse, you've shared such great information with us about accessible communication. The podcast is intended for public relations people of all stripes, from students to experienced practitioners. Do you have any final thoughts for our audience?
No matter what stage in your PR career you're in, never be afraid to ask questions, particularly around accessibility. You don't know what you don't know. Those of us who are focused on accessible content creation, we are more than happy to answer the questions. Like I said, there's lots of content out there, but sometimes it's just easier to talk to somebody about it because it can seem so overwhelming. So please don't hesitate to reach out and ask questions. We are more than happy to answer them and educate people on that and ensure that at the end of the day, we're not the only ones making content accessible. Everyone's making content accessible because accessibility is the right thing to do.
That's great. And could you share your email?
Yeah. So my email is matisse@qudo.com.
Perfect. Great plug. Matisse, I have loved your passion for accessible communications. It's inspiring to listen to and making me realize how important what we do as communicators is, and it has to be shared with everybody. And we really do need to aspire to have barrier-free communications. And thank you for sharing with me. Thank you for sharing with my students earlier in the month, and for sharing with my listeners here on PR Delivered.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been an absolute pleasure. Anytime we can chat about accessibility, I get really excited. So thank you so, so much for this opportunity. I really appreciate it, Andrea.
We were listening to Matisse Hamel-Nielis with CNIB and Quato Communications, talking about the importance of accessible communications. PR Delivered is available on Spotify and Google and Apple podcasts, and eventually on YouTube, where it will be more accessible to all. You can reach me, Andrea Tavchar, on Twitter and LinkedIn. Thank you to Ryan Garbett for music and production.